That's all you want. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again. Amen. I'd like to continue on a little bit further with the thought that we were on Wednesday night. And we quoted this scripture in speaking about church built upon revelation, but we'd like to read it as our text this evening. Matthew chapter 13, we'll start at the 10th verse. Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Not to us. You were speaking plainly, but crowds come around and now all of a sudden it's parables. And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, how many knows that the only reason that they're mysteries is because God only reveals it to his own? It's his way of hiding and revealing. And there's also a certain time and a certain place for God to make it known to his children. It's time released in his time. Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. Okay, if you didn't know that, now you know that. It's not given to everyone to know. They can hear it, but knowing it is another thing. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which is Isaiah in the Hebrew, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. I'd like to just go quickly to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, because I want to point out to you the scripture that Jesus was referring to. He said, in verse 14, he said, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And we'll see how similar this is. This is what he's quoting. Basically, he's saying, this day the scripture is being fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. It means dull or hard of hearing. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We'd like to title the thought here tonight, Built to See and to Hear. Built to see and to hear. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together once again for this midweek service, Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity. And Lord, we're so thankful that your word cannot fail and that you promised us, Lord, where two or more would be gathered in your name, that you would be there in their midst. And so, Lord, we know that that word is still true this evening. We're counting on it. We gathered together, Lord, with that in mind. And so, Lord, we've come to sit at your feet. We've come to give you full attention, Lord, to your word, and Father, to worship you with everything that's in us, to receive from you, Lord, to ask, to rejoice, to give reports, and Father, to go further with you, to know you in a better way, in a greater way, a greater measure. Lord, we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. Lord, we all have different needs. We all have different battles and trials that we're going through. We're all at different phases in our walk with you. But Lord, you're mindful of each and every one, and you've tailor-made, Lord, the hearing of the word to fit our particular situations. And you're not changing your word, Lord, but it's spiritual food in due season. We do know that. And so, Lord, we're asking that you'd speak to us as only you can, that you reveal to us your word, Lord. We want to see, we want to hear, we want to believe, accept, believe, and confess, and then we want to see this come to pass in our lives. Father, may your blessings rest upon each and every one, and may you be glorified in our midst. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Grace has decided to give his heart to the Lord, and so he would like to be baptized on Sunday. So we're excited about that, looking forward to that, thanking the Lord for that. I'd like to read a statement from the Message Expectations. Paragraph 31, God still remains God. He lives today. He's just as much alive as he ever was. He's God. Then if God promises anything in the Bible, and you can accept it with all your heart and believe it to be so, you'll see the supernatural of God's word take place and manifest the thing that you have believed for. Not you might, it's possible, maybe. You'll see. No matter what it is, if you'll believe it, the word of God is a seed. It is sowed in the human heart. And if there's nothing there to hinder it, just like when God makes a decision, it's his ultimatum. And if you have an ultimatum that God's just the same, well, when them two things come together, something's got to happen. It just can't keep from happening, see? And if your ultimatum is the same as God's, well, then something must take place. How many believes that? If God makes a statement, it's got to be that. Then when you take your stand that that is true, something has to take place. It's got to. And men of all ages, when they've heard the voice of God speaking to them, they have seen the supernatural. And they have expected and lived their life expecting this to happen. And never did it ever fail. God's word can't fail. And the church said, amen. So we find a principle that is shown to us in God's word, and that basic principle states that God gives certain ones eyes to see and ears to hear the things of the Lord. And God equips you with these eyes and with these ears so that he can show you things and you can see them. That's the purpose. And so he can speak to you and you can understand what it is that you're hearing. And so that he can lead you along in life's journey. And he wants to be real, he wants to be personal, and he wants to be present tense. And some of you are tense tonight. Knock it off. Let's just have church. We came to have church. Just relax. God's word is true. He wants to be real, he wants to be personal, he wants to be present tense to each and every one of us that's born into the kingdom. He wants to be your guide. He wants to be your portion. He wants to be the voice that you're listening to. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to be comforted. He's not the God of confusion. The devil is. You find yourself getting confused, don't blame God for it. Just settle down. Let God's word settle you down. Amen. So this is his way that he ensures that we can hear his voice and recognize his voice. He's given you a special receiver. Right? Everybody doesn't have that. All his children do. Whether you're serving him or not, you were born with that receiver. You can receive from God. But once we've heard from him, friends, we also need to see what it is that we've heard. When we see it, it's not with natural vision, but it's with the God-given spiritual eyes of faith. For Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. And it is the evidence of things not seen. Now what he's saying, you know, this can be confusing to people. Evidence of things not seen. Not seen with your natural eyes. But faith is your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight. You see it with your spiritual eyes. You believe it. You know that it's true. It has to happen. You heard the word, but then he shows it to you. He reveals it to you. That faith drops down in your heart. That's your eyesight. And you say, well, there's just no way that this can't come to pass. God said it. I believe it. And he's going to bring it to pass. So there's been a lot of confusion around whether or not God intends for everybody in the kingdom in every generation to see the supernatural. Let's just settle that tonight, okay? When we say the supernatural, what we're talking about is the physical manifestation of the Word when the Word of God is vindicated and lived out. Simply, another simpler way of saying it is when the Word comes to pass. Amen. It is supernatural as opposed to something that can be explained as natural and as resulting from something taking a natural course. For instance, if I take a glass that's full of water and I turn it upside down, what's going to happen? Well, the water's going to fall from the glass. It's going to fall to the ground. And it will do so by a physical law, which is called the law of gravity, right? That's a natural law. Now, if I saw that happening, I wouldn't say, wow, that's supernatural, right? Because it's not. It's natural. That sort of thing can and will repeat any time. And here's a little key for you, whether I believe it or not. So when it comes to the natural laws, I don't have to believe it. It has nothing to do with whether I believe it or not. Amen? I don't need to believe for natural things to take place. So the prophecy spoken that rules over those kinds of events, they are the result of God speaking and then God believing his own word. So those natural laws are still faith-based, but it's not your faith. God spoke it. He believed his own word. You weren't even here yet. God believed it. Amen. So when we say supernatural, we're talking about things that God causes to occur based on his word that would otherwise not occur by natural causes. So it's, in other words, it's outside of the original creation. Right? So, if I follow the natural laws of nature, I should expect the results that occur when one works according to those laws. I should have full confidence in it. Right? And we do. We have full, you know, every day we operate according to the natural laws. And, you know, we count on the sun coming up. Well, it does come up. Right? The earth is still rotating, and the laws that govern where those are at and how they orbit, that's all settled. We don't have to believe it. It's settled. And whether you believe the earth is flat or round, it doesn't matter. It's still round. So whether or not I believe in the natural laws, the results will always be the same, unless the supernatural intervenes and overrides, which is also the manifestation of the supernatural. It is also God's word, but it requires somebody on the earth to believe the word that is spoken in heaven. Amen. And heaven's right here. So the same is true for the spiritual laws as for the natural laws. Somebody has to believe. The natural laws, God believed. He spoke, He believed. Here it is. If he ever doubts his word, we will all cease to exist. The world will disappear. The universe will disappear. God believes his word. So if we believe those laws, if I believe the word of God, then what will result is the fulfillment of God's word every time. Amen. Just as what resulted from God's word when he believed it was the manifestation of God's word every time. Are you with me? Yeah. So the fulfillment of his word is supernatural. And it is that very same creative spoken word going forth, and it will not return unto him void. God's spiritual laws override his natural laws, in a sense. So in order for me to believe God's word, I need to have spiritual ears first to hear, right? Because I have to first hear the word. How can I say I believe it if I've never heard it? What is it that I'm claiming to believe? I have to hear the word first. God knew that I would have to have the ability to hear from him. And so he placed something inside of me. You could say the same, any son or daughter of God. He placed something inside of me that allows me to hear his voice and to know for certain that it's his voice, that he's the one that's speaking to me and not somebody else. But it's not enough for me to only hear the voice of God. I must have something else also. I must have faith in what it is that I have heard. I must believe that what I have heard is of God, and therefore it must be. I must believe that what God has said is the truth. I must believe and I must see with spiritual eyes the things that I have heard. The seeing takes place somewhere in my being, a place which we refer to as the soul of man. That's where the seeing takes place. That's where faith resides. In the soul, you have one sense. You either believe or you doubt. There's either faith or there's unbelief. So I must believe. So the seeing takes place in my soul. And when I see it with my spiritual eyes, I know that it is so. That's what it truly means to see. You just know it. And you don't know how you know it. You just know that you know it. That you didn't know it. Now you know it. It's settled. You can't explain it to somebody. You experience it. Amen. Regardless of what the other senses might declare to you. It's settled. You know it. That is revelation. That is what his church is built upon. So if it's something that has not yet manifested in this dimension, our spiritual sight declares to us that it is settled. And that it will be manifest. Because it doesn't matter whether it exists in the future or the present. It will happen. It's God's word. It has to happen. And your faith is the amen to that promise. Right? Amen means so be it. You are here this evening to say, so be it. Amen. Be it unto me according to thy word. Let your word, which is spoke in heaven, which is, I hear in my heart, I hear in my soul, let it be. That faith just anchors there. You're the betting ground. And then it comes to pass according to God's spiritual laws. So the manifestation of what we believed is a supernatural event that takes place in a natural world. God has given to us his word as our guide, and he speaks to us through his word in due season. I still am amazed with it. Even after all these years of following God and hearing his voice and listening to him and seeing these things take place, I'm still amazed. at how I can look at a scripture and I can read it 100 times. I can read it 1,000 times. I can read it for 30 years. But at the right time and the right season, I'm hearing it for the first time. Because I'm hearing it in a way that I never heard it before. All of a sudden, it's real. All of a sudden, it's personal. All of a sudden, I just know that it's the truth. All of a sudden, I can see it. Amen. And nothing's changed in the writing of it. Nothing's changed in the verbiage. It's the same word that I've heard over and over and over, but all of a sudden it's real to me. That's sight. That's revelation. And that comes from God. So you say, Lord, I believe what it is that I've heard. I accept it. I believe it. You have given me faith now to hear. And that faith comes with the word when I hear it. Lord, I believe. Amen. Once you hear and believe and see the promises speaking directly to you and to your situation, well, then the word will be made manifest. I didn't say when. I just said it will be. It has to. Just as when God spoke in the beginning and said, let there be light. We don't know how much time passed before there was light. And maybe Gabriel said to Michael, hey, Michael, what's light? And Michael said, well, I'm not really sure, but just hang on. God said it. We'll see the manifestation of it. That will be the interpretation of what that word was that he spoke. But just hang tight. We'll see it. So the problem that we run into many times is that intellectual preachers try to preach to us the word of God and get us to accept it only in our minds. Certainly, I receive it first by my natural senses. I've got to hear it. It's got to strike my eardrum. It's got to run through the gray matter. But it's not my mind alone that needs to accept it. I say not my mind alone because if my mind rejects it, there's no way that's a gateway to the soul, right? If it can't get through the door between the soul and the mind, I'll never believe it. So I do need to accept it. But I don't need to satisfy my mind's insistence that things only work by natural laws or my mind's desire, supposed need and desire to reason it out and to understand it in some kind of, a natural way. My mind might want tidy explanations for things, right? Remember that we said things happen by following natural orders, natural laws, whether or not we believe that they will, right? Well, the human mind actually needs to see things proved before it will accept them. That's how the human mind operates, right? But what determines whether or not the human mind will then believe it? The human mind will believe it if it matches what the human mind was looking for, what the human mind is expecting. And we've all heard the saying many times, seeing is believing. But that's actually not true. If what we see doesn't match what we already believe, many times we refuse to believe what our eyes show us. So seeing is not believing. But whether or not we believe what we saw, it happened independently of our belief or lack thereof, according to natural laws. Right? Natural laws don't care. Because it's not my faith that's making natural laws come to pass. It's God believing His Word. He spoke it, He believes it. So our human mind does not determine whether something in the natural happens or whether it doesn't happen. Yeah. Right? That old mind over matter nonsense is just that. It's nonsense. Right. Your mind can't change laws. Right. Right? But with the spiritual laws of God, it's different. And that's what we need to realize. In order for the word to be manifested according to spiritual laws of God, there has to be faith somewhere. When Jesus was walking the earth, most of that faith was in Him. Occasionally he'd walk across it and he'd say, no, I haven't found like faith like this in all of Israel. Or be it unto you according to thy faith. Right? Somebody has to believe that word in order for it to come to pass in this dimension.
Yeah.
Amen? So if we're waiting for some kind of physical proof first to cause us to believe and then receive a promise that's made to us, we will be waiting for an eternity. Right? That's what hinders people from receiving the simple gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what hindered me. Right? Is I wanted some kind of sign. Give me some kind of sign. He'll give me the Holy Ghost. That's all I need. Right? And it will prove whether or not. Amen? But it's not, I don't need some kind of proof to then believe. Amen? So God's kingdom is built on faith in His Word. And as we looked at last Wednesday, the gates of hell cannot prevail, last Sunday night, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that faith or against that revelation, or to put it in other terminology, against that sight that tells us that it's the truth. That faith comes from God, and it is actually the faith of God imparted to you.
Amen.
Amen. It's not another kind of faith. There's a scripture where Jesus said, have faith in God. And Brother Bram said, that's not actually the right the full interpretation of it. He said, the correct interpretation is, have the faith of God. Amen. So you're believing His Word just like He believed His Word. And when He believed His Word, it came to pass. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will cause something to be made manifest before us that we didn't yet have faith for. You ever had that experience? But guess what? Somebody did. Maybe a loved one comes in. Maybe we were, wow, how'd that happen? Right? Somebody was praying. Somebody was believing. Right? So when it is made manifest, well, then many times we will believe and we will see that it is the supernatural that we just witnessed. So hearing and seeing, these are the two things that Jesus said. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. It's not the same thing. Seeing and hearing are two things that take place, and they are so fundamental to the kingdom of heaven that we are born into that they actually become an evidence of the new birth. An evidence of the new birth. The fact that you can hear the Word of God, the fact that you can see the Word of God. Amen? That it's revealed to you. So to believe every word means that when you are confronted with the Word that you hear with your spiritual ear, you will see it with your spiritual eye. And you will believe the Word. And friends, that means you're going to believe it whether or not it's been revealed to you yet. You can hear something before you see it. And that was our point with the Word. The Word didn't change. You've heard it, but you're hearing it with a spiritual ear. But one day you see it. Listen to this from Message the Resurrection. He says, how many has a need of God? Let's see you raise your hand. He says, now look, I'm not one of these preachers that believes in this going around trying to pet and baby people to the kingdom of God. Come on, friends. You make an illegitimate child. You can't come under the fire of the gospel. Brother Peter, James, and John and them didn't pull any punches. They preached it right out there and they said, oh, you generation of hypocrites, and so forth. John said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And brother, they come and they was and was baptized by scores. There were loads of people that were coming in when the word was preached straight. He says, there's got to be a time when you got to quit babying people. Some of you want to be babied a little longer. You can't sissify them. That's what's the trouble today. Preachers is handling the gospel with ecclesiastical gloves on. That's what's the trouble of it today. What we need today is a raw, flat gospel that tells you you are a sinner, that you're going to hell. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost, you're out of the kingdom of God. That's right. You can't believe the supernatural because you have never been born again. And when you're born again, you have to believe the supernatural because you are the supernatural yourself. Hallelujah. You're a new creature. That's supernatural. People can't see a physical difference, but there is a difference. You're a new creature. He says, I know that down in every man's heart, there's something that yearns to see the supernatural. You with me? Oh, now we're getting into fanatic territory. Listen, if you are a supernatural being, there's something down in your heart that yearns to see the supernatural. To see what it is you want to see the Word of God that you believe, you want to see it made manifest. You want to see it take place in your life. You're not looking for magic. You just want to see the manifestation of what God has declared. You want to see something that's beyond the impersonal natural laws of nature. Something that's beyond the intellect. You want to see your maker living in your day. You want to live in the Bible days. You're saying, God, you said this. I believe it. Where is it? If you're with us, where's all the miracles? Where's the supernatural of your presence? You're a living God. So if you're alive today, if you did it then, you'll do it now. You didn't leave me out of the Bible. I'm part of the Bible being lived out in my day. Written epistles, read of all men. You want to know Him. You want to love Him. You want to talk things over with them. Don't tell me that's not supernatural. You can get on a radio and talk to somebody that's in another room. You can get on a cell phone and talk to somebody that's in another state or halfway around the globe. You can get on a radio and talk to somebody that's on the moon. They'll do that here pretty soon. There'll still be people that don't believe it, but they're going to do it. But how is it that you're talking to a being that's in another dimension? Yet you know that you are. That's supernatural. So you want to know Him, you want to love Him, you want to talk things over with Him, you want to ask Him to intervene on your behalf according to what His Word declares. And you're not looking for a natural God made out of natural things, no matter how beautiful that it might be, no matter what kind of precious metal that it's made out of. You want to see the God of the Bible in your life. So we hear God's word, and we want to see it lived out before us. How many can say amen to that? I just want to see you, Lord. We would see Jesus. I want to talk things over with you. And I want to hear back. And I want to see manifested what you declared in my time of need. So the misunderstanding that we face many times today is that when we say, I want to see the supernatural, we aren't wanting to just see anything, right? We aren't saying, for instance, I want to see such and such and then I'll believe. That'll make me a believer, right? What we're saying is, amen to the word. We're saying, so be it. Let it be so. When you say, be it unto me according to thy word, you're saying, let the supernatural word of God be manifested. Now, people without spiritual ears and eyes, they'll accuse you of being a sign seeker. No, I'm already a believer. I'm not seeking after signs. In fact, I'm not following after signs. But signs are following after me. Because He's in me. And he's the one that's doing and willing. This is his work. This is his work getting done. And this is his work being finished in another body. It's not a different word. It's not a different one that's bringing it to pass. But you're the one that's agreeing. You become a bedding ground of his word. Somebody has to be that bedding ground for that faith to energize that word and put it into action. The word's been there. The word's a seed, but it's waiting for that faith at the right time. Amen. To stimulate it and to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So the critics will remind you that Jesus said, you know, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Well, he did say that. We're not denying that. We're not trying to explain it away. We can cope with that. But they show that they can't hear or see when they say we don't need to see the supernatural. And we don't even desire to see the supernatural manifested, because to even have that desire is wrong. And it's the devil that does those things, right? We have super duper faith. We just believe. Well, you don't even know what faith is. Faith is I know. It's not I hope. It's I know. And there's no way that it won't come to pass. So what Jesus was exposing when he was, he said, you know, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He was exposing those that did not believe. A person seeking after a sign in this particular case is somebody who refuses to believe the word unless they are given some sort of a sign. Right? Whether it be a scriptural sign or not. That person is demanding to see something that matches what they've already accepted in their mind to be the truth. Mark chapter 15, verse 29. Let's let the scripture give us a little more insight here. Mark 15, verse 29. And they that passed by, they railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. They couldn't hear. They couldn't see. They didn't realize he was talking about a spiritual tabernacle. He was talking about his own tabernacle, right? He's going to go into the grave and be raised up within 3 days. He's talking about that earthly tabernacle. He's also talking about the bride tabernacle that would be built up over 7 ages, right? In 2 days, which is not the third day, right? There's a resurrection at the time of the end. Hallelujah. So they're thinking he's talking about the physical tabernacle, right? So they can't see, they can't hear what it is that he said. And they said to him, save thyself and come down from the cross. Right? Likewise, also the chief priests mocking, they said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. You know what? That is exactly the truth. In order for him to save others, he couldn't save himself. In order for Adam to save Eve, he couldn't save himself. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross. So they didn't believe that he was Christ the King of Israel. Let him descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Well, why didn't he just, you know, they said they would see and believe. Why didn't he just do that? Because they still would not see and they still would not believe. Because if they were going to see it, they would have already saw it. And if they were going to believe it, they would have already believed it. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. So what's wrong with this picture? They did not believe that he was the King of Israel. If they did, they wouldn't be asking for a sign. Why do you need a sign? Faith is your evidence. There was no sign that he could have given them that would cause them to hear and to believe that he was their king. And on top of it, they're trying to give him orders. Do this and we'll do that. Right? And if he would have complied, they would have had another argument. And they still would not have believed. You know, we've all been through that, right? We've all been in situations where we're not fussing with somebody or arguing with them. We're trying to get across to them the truth. And we're thinking, oh man, it's my fault they're not getting it. I'm just not explaining it right. You know, if I could get brother so-and-so, if I could get my pastor, if I could get somebody, you know, it's my fault. If I could just explain it, they'll believe it just like I do, right? And then God will give you a little grace to, you know, maybe you'll go steady something up and you'll have a more ready, you'll be able to explain it in such a way that they just have to want to disbelieve, right? And you do that, and it's just incredibly deadly obvious. You know, just like water baptism. You can show that in the scripture. It doesn't take a revelation. You can show in the scripture, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then Peter, who was given the keys to the kingdom, they said, what must we do to be saved, right? He said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? So he's got the keys to the kingdom. He either just directly disregarded what Jesus said, went apart from it, or the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know that's true, and everybody that was baptized in the New Testament was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need a revelation. You can show that to somebody, and they'll say, well, my church teaches this, or I'm going to believe this or that. So what I'm getting at is that you can even supply something that will satisfy the arguments of the intellect, and people will still refuse to believe. That doesn't make a believer out of you. Though one raised from the dead, yet they will not believe. So seeing is not believing. Are you with me? We shouldn't be praying to God, let me, you know, give me evidence, give me proof. We should be praying to God, help my unbelief, give me faith. I believe your word. Now quicken that. Make it real to me. I don't doubt it. I don't deny it. But give me that faith. That'll bring a manifestation. It'll produce signs. Amen? But it isn't the sign that you're seeking. It's faith. So the Pharisees said to Jesus, Master, we would see a sign. And Jesus told them that the only sign that they would see would be that the prophet Jonah would be 3 days in the belly of a whale. Remember that? These blind and deaf unbelievers. Luke chapter 23, verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. You know, it's like wanting to go to, I can't remember the name of, there was a famous magician that was famous for David Copperfield. That's what I was trying to think of, right? Oh man, I'd sure like to go see that. Or I'd sure like to go to the circus. I'd sure like to see this. I'd sure like to see that. That's the kind of desire that Herod had. You know, greatest show on earth. Right? He was desirous to see him of a long season. He didn't want to see him like you and I want to see him. Because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. A magic trick. Right? Then he questioned him in many words. But he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes, they stood and they vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught. And they mocked him. And they arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and they sent him again to Pilate. So Herod had heard many things and he wanted to see, but what he heard was not with spiritual ears. And what he wanted to see were not things of God, but parlor tricks, supernatural, works of magic. Amen? And that won't make you a believer. You're either a believer or you aren't a believer. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know, not we think, not we hope, or it's said about you, we know that thou art a teacher that come from God. We know that. Because no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. A little bit of wisdom there, right? Jesus answered him and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You'll never see it. It's here. It's here tonight. It's been here for 2,000 years. Still here. Won't be here for long, but it's still here. But unless you're born again, you can't see it. Nicodemus saith unto him, using his natural mind, trying to probe at it with his natural mind, trying to reason it out with his natural mind. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he's imagining in his mind that being born again is another natural birth. Right? He has no concept about what Jesus is speaking of. It is a birth, but it's not a natural birth. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he's not just repeating what he said. The first time, he said, you can't see it. The second time, he said, the only way to get into it, except that you're born of water and spirit. You must be born of water and spirit, or you can't enter into it. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou heardest the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Right? It's not governed by physical laws. And you can't look at it like you do with physical laws and look for a physical law kind of proof. The spiritual laws that believers in Christ live by are the laws of hearing and seeing. We look at Job in the Old Testament. He walked according to God's word, right? Initially, he could hear, but he couldn't see. He had the ability to see, but God hadn't shown him, right? So he found himself in a trial that did everything to him except take his life. And of course, we know the story of Job is the story of man. Job once had everything. He lost everything. And then everything was restored back to him, right? That's the story of mankind. His comforters, they tried to convince him that he was a secret sinner. But he wouldn't accept that. Why? Because he wasn't looking at him. He was looking at God's requirement. God's requirement required a sacrifice. He had offered it. He had repented. He offered it for himself. He offered it for his family. It was a worthy sacrifice. This is just the natural, right? This is just the shadow type. But he did it according to God's word. And he believed, he had confidence, he had faith in what he did. So he knew he wasn't a secret sinner. That question was settled. He was trusting in God.
Right.
He couldn't explain it to you. He couldn't explain why he was going through these things. Right? But he knew that it wasn't because he was a secret sinner. So they're trying to convince him that it's happening because, you know, either God's word isn't true or you didn't keep God's word. Well, he did keep God's word, and God's word is true. So what he did was he stayed on what he knew to be true. He stayed on that, that ash heap. And that ash heap was all that remained of his sacrifice. That sacrifice was burned. He didn't know what else to do. He knew that was a requirement, so he stayed right there.
Right.
He didn't move from it.
Right.
He had met God's requirement, and he wasn't going to move from that.
Right.
But that's all he had.
Right.
Right? He stayed on what he knew to be true, and he waited on what he had heard, but he had not yet seen. Job chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord, and he said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And friends, according to the word, Job saw the kinsman redeemer before anyone else. Job is the oldest book of the Bible, and Job saw the kinsman redeemer. He had heard and he had believed, but he had not seen. But then God showed him and he saw his Redeemer. And he said, I know. Somebody say, I know. I know my Redeemer liveth. Though the skin worms eat my skin, yet in my flesh I'll see God. Hallelujah. He had heard, but now he saw. That's the same thing is true for every son and daughter of God.
Right.
Under the New Testament covenant, we hear, but then we see. I know. We can declare, I know. I see him today. I know my Redeemer liveth. He's not a history lesson. He's real. He's alive. He's here. And I will see him. In my flesh, I will see God. So when Job was in his deepest depths, in his greatest trial, the Lord showed him the vision of his Redeemer. Friends, what is he showing his bride today? He's showing her the vision of the bride. He's showing her the vision of the coming of the Lord. He's showing her the vision of her being in order and in step and without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. Being in order. And he's showing her the coming of the Lord. And he's showing her her place in him and his place in her. And she sees it. And she sees herself in that vision. And she says, I don't know how that's going to happen, but I'm going to be there. I'm part of it. I'm walking towards that. And one day I'm just going to blend with it because that's me. John, who's the type of the bride in Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 5, when that book came open, John looked, he saw 24 elders around the throne. He saw the 12 apostles, he saw the 12 patriarchs. He saw the 12 apostles and he went around the circle. And at one point he realized, I know that guy.
Yeah.
That's me.
Right.
I made it.
Right.
And he's the type of the bride.
Right.
That's me.
Right.
I'm going to be there.
Amen.
Because I'm already there. I've got to walk in this, but it's already happened. In God's thinking, that's me. I see. This book came open, you ate it. And now you can see what you never saw before. You believed, you had heard, but now you see. Hallelujah. Job needed to see that just one that intervened on his behalf. He needed to see that. Job believed that he had met God's requirement, but now he needed faith to flow through that channel. Job needed the inspiration to move through that channel that was opened up by him standing on the Word. Friends, you want to see God do something in your life? Stand on the Word. Well, I've been praying for my loved one. Keep doing it. You said, well, I don't have the inspiration. Stay on that Word. Stand on that Word. Don't move from it. Stay on that ash heap. Stay there. That keeps that channel open. And at some point in time, the inspiration's going to strike. And you're going to declare, hallelujah, they made it. They may be so steeped in sin, they may be unrecognizable, but you'll know that you know that you know. Hallelujah. Bless God, I'm holding the token over my loved ones and they're going to be there. No, the inspiration hasn't struck yet if that's your terminology. Your terminology is, I know that they're going to be there. I brought it before the Lord. I stood upon it. I held on. Amen. And then the inspiration struck one day. And now I can declare with my lips, I will see them. Because I see them. I heard, but now I see. And one day I'm going to see what I see. But what I see right now is evidence of what I'm going to see. Faith is the evidence. Pray for the faith. Don't pray for an experience. Don't pray for a sensation. Don't pray for a sign. Pray for that faith. Blessed be his name. So Satan tried to get Job to doubt, which would have closed that channel of would have closed that channel up, and the inspiration that he was looking for wouldn't have come. Job needed an answer. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Job needed an answer that required inspiration from God. He didn't have an answer. He just said, God said so. He needed a vision from God. Job needed to see that he had a Redeemer. And God showed him. And friends, that's how God wants to work in your life tonight. He wants you to see that you've got a well body. Come on. He wants you to see that. It's already in his Word. You've heard it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to stand on it. He wants you to declare it. And then what is in heaven will be done here on the earth. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So that's how the Lord wants to work in our lives this evening. And so you need to know that you are in his hands. Not hope. We're not gambling. You need to know. And if you don't know it, you need to seek him until you do know it. Because he wants you to know it. And all of us face trials. And we need to know that our trials are designed to cause us to call upon the Lord so he can prove himself to us. So there are times when, you know, that we all go through where we need an answer for something in our lives. And what we don't need, and if you're listening tonight, what we don't need is for somebody to tell us what to do. What we need is to bring it before the Lord and believe that he's going to tell us. And we'll never look back because we got an answer from him. And whether it's a yes or a no, we just scream and yell and rejoice because a yes or a no is equally as good. as long as it's Him. There are times when we need to find the Word of the Lord for our particular situation. And to do that, we need to ask the Lord to speak to us. And then we need to look for the inspiration to come for our answer. And we need to stay until we get that answer. We need to see what it is that we've heard. We need to stay there and keep that word before God until we see the supernatural for our situation in our lives. Faith is the substance. Somebody say that tonight. Faith is. That's supernatural, right? It is the substance. That means it already exists. That it doesn't have to manifest yet. It's already existing. It's done. It's finished. Well, isn't it fitting that I'm going to quote from I Have Heard, But Now I See? Yeah. Paragraph 101. Now, sometimes these great pulsations of faith, they come right in the time of crisis. It's usually crisis. Come on, friends. You want me to cry for you? Wouldn't it be better for me to pray for you to press before the Lord and let that crisis turn into a victory? You don't need my sympathy. You need faith. Hallelujah. Because that's what God is trying to bring in that situation. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion for one another, but what we need is to realize there's a purpose in it. And it's not to get somebody to feel sorry for us. Sometimes these great pulsations of faith, they come right in the time of crisis. It's usually crisis that drives us into this. It was a crisis that drove Job into it. Why? He was at the end of his life. There was nothing left for Satan to take from him except for his life. And God said, you can't take his life. Guess what? He said the same thing about you. He said, have you considered my bride? Now you can do everything but take her life. I've sealed that life. I've put a seal on it. You can't take it. You can't touch it. But you can do this and that and the other. Because I have confidence in her. Why? Because I know what I put in her. I know the thoughts that I think towards her. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give her an expected end. And she will have that expected end. And you'll get your wings singed. Hallelujah. It was a crisis that drove Job into it. Why? He was at the end of his life. His children was dead. His camels. And all of his goods were gone and destroyed. And his own life. He was broke out from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet with boils. I haven't seen any of you like that lately. It was a crisis that he pressed himself. And there's where the inspiration struck him. Oh man and woman tonight, if you could look around and see how close we are to the coming of the Lord. You who've put off the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe you've relied on some sensation or something that you've done that Satan can impersonate and can't have the real faith to you, in you to go all the way with God's promises. How can a man that claims to have the Holy Ghost deny one word of this Bible being not right? You can't do it. No matter how religious you are, how many churches you belong to, how many books your name is on, if the genuine Holy Ghost is in you, which is the word, this word manifested, you'll see the message of the hour. Why? Because you'll realize you are the message of the hour. It's declaring you. You'll see the message and the hour because it's the Holy Ghost that does it. But there has to be something light that off. Inspiration strikes you. If you pour water on the ground and there's no seed there for it to strike, how can it ever bring forth anything? Just pour water on the ground. There's no seed. Nothing's going to happen, right? There's nothing there to bring forth. It's only the elected of God that will see it. But the elected of God will see it. But I this and I that and I was, blah, blah, I don't care. It doesn't matter how deep that seed was buried. It doesn't matter how much muck and mire, how much of the world. You know, that's... Jesus made that statement one time. He said, I thank you, Father, all you give me will come. I won't lose a single one. Right? Satan thought, aha. You know what? I'm going to make these guys unrecognizable. I'm going to bury them so far in religion and sin, and politics or whatever. Right? He'll never be able to find them. Friends, he'll go down every dark alley. He'll go wherever he has to go. But he knows his own. He'll find that seed. He knows what bed, what season, what time that they were planted to come forth in their day. He'll find everyone, no matter how deep they're buried. I lived up north where they used to have this stuff called grass. Familiar with it? Yeah. Here, that's that plastic stuff that's out. But we would have it, and of course, in the long summer days, you'd have to mow that grass twice a week, not just once, right? Because it'd grow for 16 hours or 18 hours, right? And that grass, I remember. The most difficult, tedious parts of it was you had to edge along the sidewalk, right? Or edge along where the driveway was at. Because it seemed like stuff would grow there thicker than anything, right? Well, no doubt some of that seed was underneath the sidewalk. Some of it maybe had been underneath the blacktop a little bit. Somehow the seed got pushed under there. It don't matter. The sun comes. There's a seed there. The moisture hits the ground. It begins to call. That sun begins to call. The rain strikes. The sun calls. And the seed said, I'm coming. I'm coming. I've only done a little bit of gardening in my life. It's always been my desire. I definitely do it spiritually and raising things up, and you'll find that it gets twisted around this, and you got to unwind it without breaking it, and then twist it around the right thing. And you know, we're kind of natural gardeners in that regard. I've never here in the desert. Well, I can't make an excuse. Brother Dutch has proved that you can still garden here. I've eaten some of his lettuce. I've heard, but now I see. But I remember there was a couple of times when I did do something in our backyard. We moved a lot, and so if I did start a garden, you know, chances were we'd move, and then I'd have to start another one somewhere else. But so I remember some of my infantile experiences with it, and I remember, like, the first time that I planted some seed, I worried about whether I planted it right side up or upside down. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, you know, you worry about those things. So I don't know how it's going to come forth, and right? And put it into the ground. How's it know? Right? But it doesn't matter what way that you plant it. You can plant it upside down. When that sun comes, when that water strikes, it's going towards the sun. So it might start growing down, but it'll curl around and it'll come up. How much more will the seed of God come forth? Just let that water fall. Let that light of the word. The woman at the well who's a type of the Gentiles. Amen. Look at her when she came forth. Everybody said, there's no hope for you. You can't make it. You can't even be on the same side of the street with us. You can't be at the well at the same time as us. You're gone. You're not even a Jew. God doesn't care about you. There's no hope. But there was a seed there. And that seed came. He left everything behind. He even drove his disciples away. Said, I got to separate this unbelief. Amen. because I must needs go to Samaria because there's a seed that I got to come across. And she's had the wrong husband for 6 church ages, but her right husband is here. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, friends, God is perfect. God's ways are perfect. God's word cannot fail. He will not lose a single one. Don't you let the devil lie to you tonight. Well, I tried this and I tried that and I've been hanging on, but I'm just no good. Quit looking at yourself. Look at him. Amen. You didn't make yourself. Why are you trying to remake yourself? He loves you the way you are. And he's going to make you into who you really are. But you got to trust him. Come on, friends. Oh, I could go a million directions. I feel the faith rising. I can actually see some of the issues that we're having here tonight. Amen. I can feel the pull in different directions. God will speak to you, friends. If you'll just take him at his word, he's got an answer for your problem, for your situation. Blessed be his wonderful name. There has to be something like that up. Inspiration strikes you. If you pour water on the ground and there's no seed to strike it, how could it ever bring forth anything? There's nothing there to bring forth. Only the elected of God will see it. Do we believe that?
Amen.
You can't make yourself elected of God. You either are or you aren't. You say, well, that's not fair. What if I want to be? Well, if you want to be, it's because you are. If you aren't, you don't want to be. Why would you want to be if you aren't? Come on, friends. Hallelujah. The elected of God seen it in Noah's time, in Moses' time, in Jesus' time, in the apostles' time, in Luther's time, in Wesley's time, in Pentecostal time, because that was the seed that was on the earth when this inspiration was poured out. Now, while the inspiration is poured out to gather the bride together, it's only those who are elected that will see it. Let me ask you tonight, do you want to see it?
Amen.
You'll see it. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, for thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as would learn.
Amen.
Now, inspiration has to strike it.
Amen.
You heard it, you believe it, but now inspiration has to strike it.
Amen.
He says, now, when the inspiration struck him, that did it. He had it then. Now we find out there comes a time of these crises when the press is right on. And you look around today. You look at the conditions we're living in. Aren't we living in a modern Sodom and Gomorrah? Man, it's 10 times worse today than it was then. But he saw it coming. The conditions were there. They were in their infancy, but he saw it. Hasn't the world come back? That was a Gentile world that was destroyed then by fire. Didn't Jesus say, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed? What is it revealed? It's a secret made known, a revelation. It's to reveal or make known a secret. We're living in the manifestation, the revealing of the Son of Man. We're living in that time. So we have to first hear and accept the Word of God. And then we need to see by revelation. And then it will be made manifest. But we're not looking for a sign in order to believe. We are looking for faith. To believe. We're looking for the sight in order to see the promise. That's what faith is. It's long-range vision. You see. and declare what is not as though it is. Because your sight declares that it is. That is supernatural. Friends, you see yourself in this message. You say, well, I'm not a prophet. I won't see visions. The prophet saw it. That is a vision. And a vision interpreted is prophecy. Amen. And you're the prophecy. And when you manifest, you could say, this is that. What is the message, Brother Doug? You're looking at it. This is that. So whether or not we see a physical manifestation, that's not what's important. The physical manifestation is the outflow of faith in God's word. It will happen. Somebody say it will happen. But not when I believe, but because I believe. And I see. So I've, in closing here tonight, I wonder if we realize that the word written in the New Testament is prophecy to us today. It is a vision of the word made manifest. It is declaring what takes place when faith is connected to the promise. The part that is the vision is the part that declares this will happen when that is done. And there has to be faith in what is promised. And there has to be obedience to do the other part according to the prophecy. So just as an example, I'm pulling over here in just a minute, but just I want this to be clear to us tonight. Recall one time that Brother Branham was shown a vision of a little boy, and he was dressed in blue corduroy pants. And he was twisted up, and he was lying in a bed. He saw that in a vision, right? And he saw that boy healed. And so when he ran across this little boy, he declared, "Thus saith the Lord," right? But the boy got worse. And he looked like he might die that night. And Brother Branham knew that he had gotten ahead of the vision, and that there were yet parts of that vision that had not played out, but they have to play out. So he had to wait for a man to sit and place his hat a certain way, and a grandmother had to come into the room, and she had to sit on a red chair, and she had to take off her glasses and wipe them. There had to be tears in her eyes, because that was in the vision. Everything has to be according to the vision. I can't go into a rapture until certain things take place. Right? I can't get ahead of it. I can't force myself into it. I can't declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Right? I have to go. These things have to happen. Amen. Things have to happen in my life according to the vision. So in the same manner, so is it with the scriptures concerning your promises tonight. If you want the gift of the Holy Ghost, it has to be according to the scriptures. You have to truly repent. You have to be baptized in that name, and you shall. Amen. But don't pray for an evidence or a sensation. Pray for the revelation. It's mine. It's mine. It's settled. It's mine. You said it. I believe it. I met your requirements. I'm sitting on this ash heap. Now, God. Whatever it is that we have need of tonight, the requirements of the scriptures have to be met first. We can't get ahead of that. And we find many examples in the scriptures where different ones heard and then they saw. We don't have time to go through these things. I'm just going to close with these thoughts, okay? An angel spoke to the shepherds at the birth of Christ, and they heard the word concerning the Messiah that was to be born in Bethlehem. So they heard, right? Once they heard, they accepted that word, and then they went on to see, a man named Simeon. He was waiting in Jerusalem for the consolation of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord had revealed to him that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Is that right? He believed it. And because he believed it, he waited for that time. And one day, the Spirit led him into the temple where he found Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Amen. And he saw what it was that he had believed. Luke 2:28. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes, I believed, but mine eyes has seen thy salvation. Hallelujah. Philip and Nathanael. John 1:45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. So it was written and they heard. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, well, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's trying to reason it out with his mind. Philip saith, come and see. You heard, now come and see. You heard, now come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael saith to him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, so he knew him before the foundation of the world. Jesus saith unto him, before that Philip calleth thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw you. Before the foundation of the world, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said unto thee, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, see, believe and you'll see. Believe, I want to see more than believe more. Because you believe, you'll see. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, you'll see heaven open, and you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Why? Because he believed. Because he believed and then he saw. Come on, friends. Don't ask God, let me see. Ask God, let me believe. Quicken that faith. And then I'll see. Friends, let's stand. I've heard that there's a prophet that came through the land in our day. And that his message was to forerun the second coming of the Lord. I've heard. I heard that this one was sent according to the book of Malachi, to turn my heart and to reveal the mysteries that are contained in those seven thunders. I heard that. I heard. And guess what? I believed it. And then I came to see. What are you seeing tonight? Well, I need to see a newspaper clipping. I need to see science prove this or prove that. I don't need to see any of that. That wouldn't make me believe anyway. Friends, there's a photograph in the archives of the Smithsonian. It's recorded. It was tested, right? And proven. Light hit the camera of that lens. This is not manufactured. It wasn't a chemical spill. Right? How many people have seen that? Friends, there... A dear friend of mine that I love made a trip to the Smithsonian and saw that. Had preached this for years and now has walked away. So seeing is not believing. I haven't seen that picture, but I believe.
Amen.
And because I believe, things are happening in my life. If you're looking for a sign, I'm not. I'm the only sign that I need to see. Because I'm seeing Him do what He said He was going to do. You don't need to see it anywhere else. You know, the greatest manifestation that we could, the greatest evidence that we could have that the coming of the Lord is near is the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. This word being made manifest. Oh, what a great time. What a tremendous time, friends. If you're looking at the natural, I understand why you want to slit your wrists. If you're looking at the spiritual side, there's never been a time like this. Never been a greater opportunity. There's never been as much being done as there is in our day. If you want proof, there's more proof in this day than there has been in any day. But that obviously isn't making people believers. Amen. You believe, and then you see. And then God manifests it. How many can say amen to that? I heard, I believed, then I came to see. What are you looking to see? That's the question. That's the question that we need to ask ourselves here tonight. What is it that you're looking to see? Right? So many disappointed people. So many disillusioned people. Why? What is it that they're looking at? What is it that you want to see? Are you wanting to see Fort Knox in your bank account? Are you wanting to see a pink Cadillac? Are you wanting to see a white raiment, pure and white? Hallelujah, which is the righteousness of the saints. Are you wanting to see that gold that's tried in the fire manifested? Are you wanting to see the coming of the Lord? Are you wanting to see the prophecies and the word concerning the bride coming to pass? Are you wanting to see the dead in Christ in this dimension? Do you believe? Well, then you will see. Amen. And then there'll be a manifestation. Hallelujah. What are we looking for? Blessed be His name. There's going to be some of us, no doubt, say one day, behold mine eyes. I have believed, but now I see.
Amen.
Don't struggle with it. Accept it, believe it, confess it, and you will see it.
Amen.
For you have been given eyes to see and ears to hear. It's not just for some of us to see it. It's not just for some of us to hear it. It's for the children of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we meditate on these thoughts, Lord, I just pray that it would just become so real to each and every one of us, so personal to each and every one of us, Lord. Father, you're desiring, as your prophet put one time, he said if you took a pipe and stretched it across the universe, maybe 3 foot in diameter, something like that. Doesn't really matter, but let's say it was 3 feet in diameter and you filled that pipe with water, that the pressure at the other end would still not equal how much you want to fill your children, how much you want to sup with them and them with you, how much you want to come in and be their everything, to be Jehovah Jireh, to be all the 7 redemptive names manifested in their life. You want to be their all in all. Lord, the song that was sung as we come into the pulpit, you are, Lord, you are everything. You're all that we need. You're all that we want. And you're a whole lot more than that. I pray, oh God, that each and every one of us would take a step a little higher, Lord. Each and every one of us would press in a little bit more as we looked at on Sunday night, that these things are preached, but they got to be pressed into. And Lord, you promised us that if we sought, we'd find, that if we asked, it would be given, if we knocked, that it would be open to us, if we hungered or thirst, that we were blessed. Lord, there was a time when I felt so sorry for myself because I had a thirst that just couldn't be satisfied. And I went through stages, and one of the stages was I thought that there was something wrong with me, and that's why I couldn't be satisfied, and it seemed like other people could be satisfied so easily, but that thirst that was down inside, I couldn't be satisfied, and I couldn't let up. I just kept pressing. I kept searching. I kept asking. I kept knocking. But Lord, you showed me one day, and Lord, you have more than satisfied that thirst. I'll never thirst like that ever again. I've found that satisfying portion. Of course, I get thirsty every day, just like I do in the natural, but it's not I'm going to perish kind of a thirst any longer. I'm thirsty, so I'll drink. And what I have, what I'm thirsting for is in me. It's welling up within me. And it's not just enough for me, but if I can get myself out of the way, it'll satisfy other thirsty souls that are longing and wanting to come into contact with you. But Lord, you showed me. And I remember it many, many years ago, but I remember it just as clearly now. How you showed me that your word had already declared. I had heard that. I believed your word. You said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. What I missed was the revelation of that word blessed. I didn't realize I was blessed. I was aching. I was hungering. I was thirsting. I couldn't satisfy that thirst, and I just wouldn't. I just kept pressing for asking. But I didn't realize that was a blessed thirst that was down on the inside of me. And then you showed me that one day. And you showed me, your word said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Not it, they might or it's possible. And Lord, when that broke on me, it wasn't long before that satisfying portion came. And Lord, I realized if you would have answered the prayer that I was praying at the time, take away this thirst, or if I could have found something else to try to satisfy it, I never would have come to know you as I do now. I never would have found that inexhaustible fountain that I was truly hungering and thirsting for. And I'd still be at whatever it was that was a substitute. But you said, blessed. And Lord, I can truly say that tonight. What a blessing it is. So Lord, when you put these burdens upon us, we shouldn't think it strange. We shouldn't look at it and think that there's some kind of a flaw or a fault with us. We should realize you said it's a blessing, and it is a blessing. And you gave us a promise. You said since that blessed hunger, that thirst is there, that you shall be filled. Lord, if there's anyone that's in that situation, we're all at different stages in our journey, Lord. May they be encouraged tonight. Realize, Lord, to not look at themselves, to not look at their flaws, to not look at their mistakes, to not look at how many attempts they might have made to do this or that, but to realize you're going to satisfy that thirst. You promised. We just got to take you at your word. We got to believe that. And then you're going to show it, Lord. I pray for anyone that's in that condition, whether listening in, whether present here tonight, Lord, whether listening in some other time. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here tonight, Lord, that our desire would be we've heard, but now may we see these things, Lord, and then walk in them. May they be manifested, Lord. But most of all, may we see it, Lord, because when we see it, there's just no question. There's no doubt it will come to pass. It's settled. Won't you grant it here tonight, Lord? I wonder how many tonight would want to slip up your hand and say, Lord, I believe your word, but there's things that I don't see yet, but I want to see it. And I'm taking you at your word. I'm not moving off of it. I'm not budging, but I want to see it. Lord, you see those hands being lifted up. Bless each and every one. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful thing that it is. And that is, Lord, and what a great promise that you've given us. Blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes that they see and your ears that they hear. Bless each and every one, Lord. May we not look to the right or look to the left, but may we just continue, Lord, to, as your prophet instructed us at times, he said, God loves to be reminded of his word. And Lord, that's a powerful thing for us to do, is to remind you, God, you said. The more we do that, it just goes in out of our mouth, back into our ears, and we're actually preaching to ourselves. And Lord, that faith strikes, that vision comes, and it's settled. I pray for every hand that was raised, Lord, every heart behind that hand. And Father, we commit each and every one into your loving care, under your watchful eye, Lord. We're trusting in you from the pulpit to the back door. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Fresh on me.